It's time for Let's Talk with Brian Pettaway.
Hey everybody, good morning, happy Sunday, welcome to the show. I am your host, Brian Pettaway. You know, Let's Talk is a show that I love to do, that I'm blessed to do, and I love to do it because I get to have some great guests on. I've had some amazing guests on the show, and today is no different. Today I get to have guests on the show that have been in the Baltimore area serving for about 45 years. And not only that, they are the wife and daughter of one of my childhood basketball heroes, Mr. Wes Unseld. So I have the Unselds here from the Unseld School in Baltimore right on Catons Avenue. Can't wait to talk to them. They are incredibly inspiring and they are such nice people. Unbelievably so. I also have the Petty with me today and he's going to give us the MLB breakdown of the playoffs. He's also going to talk about the Orioles in particular, I hope. He's going to talk about the NFL, give us our Sunday picks, our Monday picks, and our Thursday picks for the NFL games. But first, you've got me. I'm going to do what I love to do the most, and that is give you news and current events from the past week. And oh my God, there's been a lot going on in Baltimore and across the nation. And of course, we've got my Sunday fun facts, so stay tuned for that. Apparently, people like those. So I'm going to throw those in there with you today as well. So I hope you're feeling great, because I am feeling great. I've got lots to talk about, so let's get right to it. Well, it's been a rough week for me, a sad week for me, because Baltimore's back in the national news due to a shooting at my alma mater, Morgan State University. On Tuesday evening of this week, right after the coronation ceremony, the crowning of Mr. and Miss Morgan State University, and as people were leaving that ceremony, shots rang out on the campus, and parents, students, and faculty alike scattered. After the smoke cleared, five people were shot, four students and one non-student, all of whom were taken to the nearest hospital and treated with non-life-threatening injuries, thankfully. The campus was put on lockdown. Students who lived and who live on campus were forced to stay in their rooms while Morgan State campus security, Baltimore City Police, and their SWAT teams searched each dorm, dorm room, and hall, searching for suspects. Mayor Brandon Scott was on the April Ryan show recently, and this is what he had to say about the shooting.
This is a tragic event and a tragedy at a place that you know very well, and you know how great this institution of Morgan State is. What we know right now is that there was a confrontation between groups that led to unfortunate gunfire, and with five people being non-fatally shot, four men, one young woman. And that's what we know. We know that there was talks about active shooter and all of these things initially. What we did and the BPD did is make sure they tracked down every piece of information that was given to them when they were on the scene. They did the work of going through floor by floor to making sure that all of those rooms were clear. There was a projectile that we know now went into a window on the seventh floor from the shooting, not an active shooter, shooting out of that window. That was confirmed by our BPD individuals last night. And that right now we know that there was multiple shooters, but this was not your quintessential quote unquote school or mass shooting. This was a basic human conflict.
And the mayor goes on to talk about how this has a lot more to do with guns being in the hands of those who should not have them than it does with violence on the campus of Morgan State University. Because of the shooting, homecoming festivities for the first time in the history of the school have been canceled or postponed. Most have been canceled, but the homecoming game itself, which was supposed to be played yesterday, has been postponed. President Wilson of Morgan State University has not yet announced what the makeup date for that game will be. So as you might imagine, I have a lot of feelings about this shooting. It's a very sad day as a bear to announce that there's been a shooting at a school that I attended. I mean, it's a really sad situation. I have a friend that had sent her daughter to Morgan State as a freshman this year, partly because, you know, I recommended it highly and spoke about it with a lot of pride. It is an HBCU where I thought her daughter, who was coming from the suburbs of Virginia, would be surrounded by people like her for the first time. And not only that, but be getting an education about her culture that she wasn't getting where she was from, and learning to love it and embrace it and immerse herself in Black excellence. So now here we are, a month after her having moved away from Virginia, her safe haven, onto the campus of Morgan State University, and she's faced with a mass shooting. Not only that, her first homecoming experience has been canceled. So I feel especially terrible. And it's not because I'm particularly close to this child, because I'm not. I was just asked about the school in a general conversation about colleges. But now, as you can imagine, I feel like it's my duty to make sure that she's safe when she is here. Uncle Brian is now on the perch, you know what I'm saying? It's just a horrible situation. And to be very honest with you, I do not agree. I understand why President Wilson canceled the homecoming festivities, but I don't agree with it. First of all, HBCUs are grossly underfunded to begin with, and homecoming week and festivities are the largest fundraising events throughout the entire year for HBCUs. So to cancel all homecoming events and festivities culminating in the game on Saturday and canceling the game is incredibly damaging to the budget. But more than that for me, it's the message that it sends. You know, on the marquee at Morgan State now, there reads digitally, Morgan Strong. But how strong are you showing us to be if you let one monkey stop the show? And I mean the shooter, not Dr. Wilson. I think this was an opportunity to show that we don't bow, we don't break, we move on, and we overcome. And I think President Wilson dropped the ball in this situation. Morgan State would have been one of the safest places in the country yesterday because of what happened on Tuesday. And I think that game would have gone off without a hitch, and we would have absolutely sent a Morgan Strong message. All right, nationally, the biggest story of the week was Kevin McCarthy is ousted as Speaker of the House. It's a huge deal. And one of the reasons it is a huge deal is because it's the first time in the history of Congress that one of the speakers of the House has ever been voted out of office. I think most of us knew that when McCarthy was actually voted in, it took him 15 times to get the number of votes that he needed. And that was comical and embarrassing enough. But I think we knew that once he was voted in, by a thin thread, that he was merely a puppet for the GOP. And the moment one person, the minute one Republican was unhappy with him, and had the opportunity to vote him out, they would. We understood that he was on very thin ice, and he knew it too. He just wanted to be able to at least hold the title of Speaker of the House for however short a period of time that happened. Well, it was a very short period of time, but he did what he wanted. He got an opportunity to put on his resume that he was Speaker of the House. So here's reason number two for why this is a big deal, and this is the most troubling for me. It's that because now that the speakership is vacant, they have to actually vote in someone else. And the person that is leading the polls and having the best chance at filling that spot as Speaker of the House is none other than Jim Jordan, who most of us know is one of the most despicable people in Congress. He is a man that is still touting the big lie that Donald Trump lost because the election was rigged and the votes were stolen. He's also talking about how the insurrection was nothing more than a few visitors that got a little unruly, but was not meaning to cause any harm or any damage, and that a lot of the hoopla behind it is simply lies. In fact, he was subpoenaed to be a witness for the insurrection investigation. He simply ignored the subpoena, has still not shown up to be a witness before that committee. But aside from all of that, the worst part of Jim Jordan's reputation to me is on the same day that the U.S. House Republicans named Jim Jordan as the next top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, a former captain of the Ohio State University's wrestling team told a hearing in Columbus that Jordan knew wrestlers on his team were being sexually abused when he served as its assistant coach from 1987 to 1995. Now, there's no dispute that the team doctor and athletic trainer, Dr. Richard Strauss, abused over 177 wrestlers, swimmers, and gymnasts during his tenure as the team doctor. In fact, in 2005, he killed himself because of the guilt associated with his crimes. There's also no disputing that the highest amount of molestation took place during the time that Jim Jordan was there as the assistant coach on the wrestling team. Many wrestlers, including wrestler Adam DiSabato, a captain of one of the wrestling teams while Jim Jordan was still an assistant coach there, claimed in front of a House committee that Jim Jordan is absolutely lying when he says he knew nothing about Richard Strauss victimizing and sexually assaulting the wrestler. He says that Jim Jordan himself called DiSabato and begged him, almost crying, not to implicate him in any of the testimony that he gives to this House committee. There have been so many of these wrestlers that have come out against Jim Jordan that it's hard to believe that the man who has lied about everything else is telling the truth about this. So do I have a problem with Jim Jordan? Absolutely, positively, yes. And am I really troubled about the fact that he has an opportunity to become Speaker of the House? Absolutely, and you should be too. All right, so you know what? I'm bringing myself down. So in the interest of lightening the mood, I'm just going to jump right into the Sunday fun facts. Let's forget about the news for right now. Let's just jump right into the Sunday fun facts. Now, these are five facts. I'll give you five every week. That's just kind of useless, curious information for right now. But can you ever really have too much knowledge? I mean, useless knowledge or not. Knowledge is knowledge, right? So here we go. The very first fun fact for today is that human teeth are the only part of the body that cannot heal itself. Teeth are not made of live tissue and are coated in enamel, which cannot spontaneously regenerate. So, you know, take care of your teeth. You don't want that yuck mouth. You just don't. Trust me. Okay, here's another Sunday fun fact for the seafood lovers out here. A shrimp's heart is in its head. That's right, let me say that again. A shrimp's heart is in its head next to its brain. Now, if that wasn't interesting enough, due to the nature of the open circulatory system in a shrimp, they have no arteries, so their organs just float around in their blood. So the next time you take a bite of shrimp, yeah, think of me, all right? I'm the guy that ruined it for you. Our third Sunday fun fact is that Fruit Loops are the same flavor despite the different colors. Now, I know this is a disappointment, but it makes sense when you think about it. Fruit Loops are, in fact, the same flavor no matter what color it is. Our fourth Sunday fun fact is that Venus is the only planet that spins clockwise. Every 225 Earth days, Venus travels around the Sun, but Venus rotates clockwise once every 243 days. So Venus is in fact the only planet that spins clockwise. And you know they say women are from Venus? That explains a lot. And our last Sunday fun fact, and you're not gonna like me for this one, but before we had toilet paper, Americans used corn cobs. Now, I'm gonna just leave it right there, but true, before we had toilet paper, Americans used corn cobs. Okay. So like I mentioned, we've got great guests today. We've got Connie and Kim Unseld, the widow and the daughter of the legendary Hall of Fame basketball player, Wes Unseld. I'll sit down and talk with them as soon as I come back.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Gavin Montgomery, co-host of Sunday Morning Soul. Sunday mornings from 7 until 10 exclusively on 1500radio.com. My co-host, Teresa Harvey, the original Midday Diva, and myself are excited about what's coming, and we want you to stick around and join us. You'll find it Sunday mornings right here on 1500radio.com. Baltimore's authentic multimedia experience.
Fellas, our skin and beards deserve the best, and Man Pretty by the Naked Face gives us just that. Feel the power of organic ingredients ethically sourced. Man Pretty features skin and hair care products with natural and organic ingredients, no GMO, artificial or synthetic fillers, and is completely sulfate free. Listen guys, scented or unscented, the Naked Face has designed Man Pretty just for us, because trust me, the ladies notice.
Yes, we do.
Man Pretty Skin and Beard Care. Get yours at thenakedface.store.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk with Brian Pettaway. Like I mentioned before, I do have Connie and Kim Unseld, wife and daughter of the legendary Hall of Fame basketball player Wes Unseld. When I was a kid, every now and then, my brother and I had an opportunity to watch the Baltimore Bullets play at the Civic Center because my mother worked as a cocktail waitress there in one of the lounges, and she would sneak us into the Civic Center if she couldn't get a babysitter. So we'd go down there and we'd watch the Baltimore Bullets, the Baltimore Clippers hockey team at the time, the Wildcats, which was the roller derby team at the time. But the one person that I remember that stood out to me was Wes Unseld, because he was a huge man and because he was one of the most dominant big men in the league at the time. I remember he had the fro going. He had this mean look on his face. He snatched rebounds like they were grapefruits because his hands were so big. And I always thought to myself, he was kind of a, I don't know, he was just an unreal figure to me. Well, in 1975, unfortunately, the Baltimore Bullets moved to D.C., but the Unselds' commitment to Baltimore stayed here. And in 1978, when the Washington Bullets won a championship, Wes Unseld and his wife Connie built a school in Baltimore, right off of Caton Avenue. And as a young man who grew up near Caton Avenue, I rode past that building many, many, many times in my life. And oftentimes I would see a Mercedes-Benz parked out front, and I just knew at that point it had to be Wes Unseld inside, right? Well, I never got a chance to see him. And sometimes I would wait, but I never got an opportunity to see the man or meet the man. But I knew he had to be inside, and sometimes that was enough to make me feel proud that I was a Baltimorean. That school that was founded by the Unselds is still going and has been serving proudly the community of Baltimore for 45 years. It truly is and has been a gem in Baltimore's backyard. So I am proud today to have with me widow of the late great Wes Unseld,
Connie Unseld, and their daughter, Kim Unseld, who is now principal of the Unseld School. And they together are going to tell me some inside things about the man and about the school. All right, 1500 family, please welcome to Let's Talk. This is Connie Unseld and daughter Kim Unseld. How are you guys feeling this morning?
Wonderful. Thank you for asking and thank you for having us.
Awesome. It's been my pleasure.
Absolutely fabulous. I'm so pleased to be on your show.
It's my honor. It's my pleasure. Like I mentioned to you, I've ridden past the Unseld School 1,000 or a million times. I lived right off of Edmondson Avenue, so I travel down Caton Avenue all the time, and I'd see the school, but I didn't really know anything really about it. I mean, I knew who founded it, but I didn't know, because, you know, Wes Unseld was a hero of mine when I was a kid. So I always thought, well, maybe I'll see him outside of the school if I ride by, but I never did, you know what I mean? So tell me about it. How was the school founded?
Kim, go on. Well, I was told that my brother and I were the original guinea pigs,
okay,
so to speak, but I believe the focus was probably a little more in depth than that. I believe at the time, and this was 45 plus years, because we are celebrating our 45th anniversary,
right?
Both of my parents were interested in finding a more interactive, classical perspective to education.
Okay. Now, Kim, you're the principal of the school, correct?
Currently, yes.
Okay. You say currently. Do you plan to change that, or is that something we...
Well, let's look at it this way. I embrace my title, and yet my title shifts. Okay. As most educators, when you have more than one responsibility. And so, yes, I say that jocularly.
Okay. So I have a question for you, and help me. You can answer this for me and be as candid as you can. The test scores in Baltimore public schools have been dismal. They've not been good at all. Elementary school, junior high school, high school. How, and Sonia Santelices, being the president of Baltimore Public Schools, has gotten a pretty bad rap, and possibly rightfully so. But I guess the question is where do you guys fall on that spectrum? How are you different? What are you doing differently? What are your test scores like?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I do believe that testing is part of a mandate that gives statistical data. However, I believe our children are more than stats.
Okay.
And it's great because I believe that our country has moved forward to throwing stats at people. It's technologically driven. However, when working with children, sometimes stats are used to conform, where many times you have to look outside the box.
Okay.
You also need to look at what tests are expected. And some tests have a specific basis that they conform to.
You mean like a racial bias?
Okay. Well, I didn't want to be, as you say, controversial in context, but you can include that.
Okay.
As part of determination. The state of Maryland has a very strong perspective regarding to testing. We at Unseld do a preliminary assessment, and then we follow a more comprehensive assessment that tests basic skills.
Okay.
That seems to be functional for both our parents and our students.
Okay.
And we are currently along the standard form. Now, I personally feel that that's not fair, because our class sizes are extremely small. So our students get a lot of intimate attention.
Well, that's one of the questions I wanted to ask as well. How do you decide who is going to be a student at your school? How do you enroll? What's the enrollment process?
Well, our enrollment is open.
Oh, it is?
I think it's the decisions are normally made by our parents.
Okay.
Because we are non-public and private.
Okay.
Our tuition is very, I think, for a private school, nominal.
Okay.
Our tuition ranges from $7,300 to $8,000 for the school year.
Okay.
And if broken into 10 months, because our students attend school for 10 months, that's $730 to $800 a month.
Okay. All right.
And that's extremely nominal. However, as you already know, in this community, in this climate, with individuals having to make tough choices in our economy, our total student population is very low.
Right.
We're approximately 30 students.
Well, that's a blessing and maybe not so much at the same time. With the small student population, the kids get an incredible chance at intimate education. So
exactly.
For me, you can't beat that, to be honest with you.
Correct.
Not that,
and
that's
so
second
when you
to none.
Discuss that, I feel that it's slightly unfair because, see, people don't want to talk about the demographics of a classroom when you discuss stats.
Right.
Small class sizes, having opportunities to have that intimate opportunity gives some people a little bit more of an opportunity that isn't there in some situations. Therefore, making a comparison, I feel, can be slightly less fortunate, and I don't like to be on that side of the stat, if that makes sense.
So let's talk about where it all started. Now, Connie, back in 78, I think your husband, your late husband, Wes Unseld, had just won the championship with the Bullets, I believe.
Yes.
Had you guys been talking about building a school prior to that, or was it something that you just said, you know what, I see a hole that we need to fill, let's fill it?
No, I was an early childhood education major, and I taught public schools for 3 years before Kim was born, and I just kept saying, I want to have a school that provides music and physical education and art and all the things that I don't see. Would you support me if we won the championship? Could I be your partner in an enterprise? Can we, can we open up a business? And he said, sure, Connie, we can do this. I think half-heartedly laughing, okay, yeah. So after we won the championship, the next day I came in with my proposal. I said, sign it right here and give me my money. So that's kind of the way it started. And Wes is an education major too.
Okay.
So we both talked about how we love children and how we wanted to give back and what would our legacy be instead of having this or that. Let's do something that would help the community. So that's how it started. And then Kim was, as she said, our guinea pig. She was extremely bright and just loving. And this being our first child, we wanted the world for her. So we sat down, we talked about what we wanted for her. And that's what the school became. What the two of us thought that we felt was very important for her. And then this is how we developed the school. And I was able to visit some other institutions in other countries and write my dissertation on early child education and came back with the philosophy that we have to start early. There are no eraser marks on children when they're younger. So
right.
Let's start here. And then it's built from there. The foundation is set up. And so there is that philosophy that is holistic. There's that philosophy that you can learn, that you can achieve, and you can be whatever you want to be.
How did you guys decide on the location of the school?
This used to be the former Tuskegee School of Nursing.
Okay.
And my neighbor was in charge of it. And in 78, there were students here who were going to Providence Hospital to get their bachelor's degree because of segregation in Tuskegee. And so I was able to get into the building, and it was brick, and it was already a pattern that was wonderful. Just on one floor, we had a nice courtyard, we had a nice backyard, and that's what I wanted, that opportunity for children to get outside. So this was it for me. So I made a proposal to Tuskegee. They accepted it. And I think Wes was on the road and he didn't know I even did it. So we came back. That's fine. We have a school. And my mom and my mother was, she was also behind the scenes encouraging me because she said, you're the best teacher I know. So why wouldn't you want to teach and teach your child and everybody else's child? So that was kind of the push that I needed, and she was so warm and nurturing with me. I kind of built on what she did, and then my dad was a principal of a school, so he came and he retired, and he was my first principal. Miss Kim has it in her blood. She doesn't want it.
I was going to say, yeah, okay. Because she sounds like a principal.
Yeah, She acts like one too. I'm the good Miss Unsell. That's the bad Miss Unsell. I see the good one instead of the bad one.
So listen, as a kid, I got an opportunity to see your husband play when he played for the Bullets down at the Civic Center, and he scared me. I liked him, but he was a big guy and he was mean in the paint. I mean, no, I'm being honest. He was one of those guys. He was an old school guy, and he fought hard in the paint. You couldn't move him. He was a big man.
Yes, he was.
But I keep hearing that he was a gentle giant. And I never had an opportunity to meet the man, unfortunately, but I'm trying to figure out, how did that work? Did he come to the school a lot? I mean, was he a big presence at, no pun intended, was he a big presence at the school?
I think he was more than a big presence, because he came to school to make sure that there were a couple of things as educators we didn't have to worry about. Even in the latter part of him working here at the school, before he became a little less capable of being here, Daddy sat at the front door.
Okay.
He was watching the front street. He wanted to make sure that the students who may take the buses got to their bus stop. He would stand, sometimes sit in his car and drive the car around the corner to make sure that our students were on whatever stop they needed to be on safely. Safety was big.
Okay.
Safety was big. I think another issue that my father took very serious was that the students had what they needed. We didn't have to wait for this, that, or the third. If we needed this, my father was quick to say, okay, what do you need? And next day we had it. I still hear stories today of my father being in BJ's or in Costco, and I'm thinking, why? We were just two or three sometimes.
Right.
We didn't shop a BJ's. But I know, or what was it called? Memco, or I can't think of the other place that he shopped those places, because he was always finding something he thought would be good for the students.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
And he made a point of making sure he greeted every single person every day.
Well, I can also interject that homework was a serious concern that he had. And when you walked into the school, good morning, do you have your homework? Yes, sir, I have it.
I was going to say, I better have my homework.
Yeah, and have a good evening. And he was really into teaching them courtesy and making sure that they were gentlemen. Did you open the door for your mother? Did you tell your mother goodbye?
That's awesome.
Wait a minute, you just
said that embarrassed more people than
you just slammed the door.
Young man, go back and kiss your mother. They look at him like, really? And then they wouldn't say no. Yes, sir. And then they go. No. I mean, all jokes aside, my dad, I think, instilled what he instilled in our family and the children, because it is like an extended family. The school right. is an extended family. And that of, I think that's important. I think that's extremely important regarding a young person's education, that it's not all textbook.
Right. Right. Now, I have only seen the front of the school. And I've never been to the back, or I've never seen the sides. I've never been inside. Is the campus, does it have an outside area for the kids to play? Because all I know is the front, you know what I mean? And I know that area, so I was just trying to figure out how big is the area itself, the school
it's
itself.
It's like many areas in Baltimore where people just see the storefront. And
right.
Fortunately, they get an opinion based on that. And like so many other areas in Baltimore, there's more depth than the storefront.
Right.
There's a gorgeous courtyard. There's an awesome asphalt play area. And the Wizards just last year, was it? Created a wonderful, more improved, rather, play area for the students. We have a gym, a library, musical.
Awesome.
There are a lot of things here. However, I'm of the opinion that you don't need to put it on a beautifully edited website. You need to come and see it.
I agree with that. I mean, I do agree with that, you know.
I mean, beautiful to have selling points, but if you're really interested in Vav, then you need to come.
Come and check it out.
Yeah.
Well, you can feel the energy as well, and I agree with that. So, real
quick. She didn't in the legacy room, and that's another addition to the school that we're really proud of is the legacy room. I did not want people to see that the Unsell school was Connie Unsell, although I was the person who wrote the curriculum and set it up. It was Unsells with UNSELDS apostrophe because it was it's plural, meaning Connie and Wes.
Okay.
Start together. And I have his picture on the wall, and the Wizards, along with Heart of America, came in and did a beautiful mural of him on the wall. And it's so, what would you say, Kim? It's just so awesome that people just walk in and their mouth just opens up. It's just
the little one specifically, because it's a life-size mural.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And Eddie had three trunk legs.
Yes.
And, you know, some of my little guys are, is this Kim? I don't feel. Yes, sir, they are. They were.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I watched him as a kid play, and I just remember him being a very big guy, and he had a scowl, like, don't try me, that kind of thing. And that's how I remember him. I remember that. It's hard for me to envision him, you know, in a school with little kids and being that guy that, you know what I mean? But I keep hearing stories about how generous and how nice and kind and gentle he was.
And he has, we put his shoe inside of a case, and Mr. West wore a size 17 shoe. Oh, and so I also use the shoe as a teaching tool for the younger children to learn how to tie their shoes. They are so excited because this is a shoe that they can put both of their feet in, and to lace it up takes forever, but it's a really cool hands-on experience. They measure his foot, they measure his hand, they measure his jersey, and, you know, they actually just read the statistics. And I was telling them that the world now has changed. They're three-pointers, but these are legitimate two-pointers. This is what he earned with his percentages with shooting. And I use it in math a lot because they can look at how many years he played, how many minutes he played, how many rebounds he played, and they are just they're just really excited about it.
Yeah, he had phenomenal stats. I mean, he had phenomenal stats. I mean, besides the fact that he was a five-time All-Star, and he was a champion, he won an NBA championship with the Bullets, he's also in the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer. So
yes,
you don't get there, you know, not having phenomenal stats. He was a phenomenal player. So it's definitely an honor to have that kind of legacy in the city of Baltimore.
Thank you.
When you go to work each day, both of you, when you go to work each day and you open the doors and you see that mural, is it something that is, how do you feel about it? Does it bring him back to you?
Honestly, Brian, I never lost him.
Okay.
I mean, you know, unfortunately, life, people transition, and my dad was my best friend, and I'm definitely an apple that didn't fall far from the tree. And so I've never lost him. I feel that I find myself repeating some of the very same isms to my students that he said to me, and sharing some of the same stories that he was able to share through his work with the Bullets Wizards as a team member, as a leader, later a coach, and then general manager, and even in the front office, some of the war stories or some of the, I guess you can say, comedic stories. I can share tidbits with my students regarding just making choice decisions.
Okay.
So I, the legacy room, I feel, I hope, instills or rather affirm what we claim we're doing here. And I'm hoping my students get a little bit more of a benefit from it by seeing it.
Right.
But I don't feel like I've lost it. Wes and I were married for 50 years, and we dated for 4 years before we got married. So
Wow.
It was total 54 years.
Right.
That's right. Really hard to even think about. He was my best friend, and we were partners for, I don't know, so many years. I would go out with him, and I would sit I'm going to the ladies' room and I'm hungry. And when I come back, he would know what to order. And I didn't even tell him.
That's how
it was. And so with the school, there were so many things that we did together. And the legacy that we always talked about is, he said, I don't want to just be known as a basketball player. I want to be known as a man with character. I want to be known as a person who gives back. Connie, there are too many athletes who are out there that don't really care. All they're into is what they want to do. And I don't want that to be a part of what I'm doing. Now, if you want to do something else, I understand. I said, no, we're good. This is a team effort, and we're going to actually do this. He was very involved. And some people think it's a basketball school. No, it's not a basketball school. We do have a basketball team.
Okay.
Think about it, that students knew it's more to life than basketball.
Right.
Basketball is a means for which you have a job, but you have to be prepared after that because you can't play forever. And I'd love to hear him talk about that. He said, oh, sure, I'm playing right now, but I can't play for 20 years. I can't play for 30 years. You know, I have to live after that. So I have to go to school. I have to get a degree. And that was poignant for him.
Okay.
You know, what are you going to do with your life? Yes, you can play basketball, but what else are you going to do? That's one job. What's your second job going to be? And I'm just so happy. He was going to go into law, but Mr. Poland, the owner at the time, actually asked him to stay on with the organization. And he's one of the few NBA stars that has actually stayed with one team for, 40 years? And that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't happen.
I was curious because the Unseld family name runs deep in that organization. Even today, you know, you have West Jr. that's coaching. Are they involved in the school at all? Besides the mural, have they gotten involved in your school at all? The Wizards I'm referring to?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mr. Leonsis is very involved and has been working behind the scenes with us regarding a few projects, including like the Heart of America. He's very actively involved, wanting to know what can be done regarding our school.
Okay. And Wes Jr. was the first student to graduate from Unseld.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. So, and I
was. That's cool.
Yeah, and I was his teacher, and I'm always talking about his penmanship, so I can use that. I said, one day your name is going to be famous, and you have to write your name. And you have to write. So then he writes his name. He comes to school to visit. I said, Wes, go to the board and write your name. And he writes. And he said, oh my gosh, he writes really good. I said, this is what I'm talking about.
Oh, the pressure, though. Oh my gosh, poor Wes, the pressure. Now, Wes Sr., he passed away in 2020. Is that right?
Correct.
3 years ago?
Yes.
And that was with a complication of pneumonia, I believe?
Yes. Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Connie, how have you handled that? Is 54 years you've known him. How does that work for you? I don't understand, because my grandparents were married for 79, and I just don't understand the hurt behind that. I hope I never have to.
Well, he's with me everywhere.
Okay.
Because we were team. I went to every basketball game. I took notes at everything, every game he played. I could tell you his percentage, how many points, how many rebounds.
Right.
I talked to all the press people. I mean, I was actively engaged in all the things. And Kim and Wes get so tired of me. I have scrapbook after scrapbook after scrapbook. And so I took a leave of absence when he retired. And, you know, life changed a little bit. And then Wes was promoted into assistant coaching, so I'm right back with that again. And I keep saying to him, oh, I just wish your dad could be here. Oh, I just wish your dad could be here.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we had so much strength in the unification of the impact that we wanted to make on the next generation, and we have grandchildren, so that makes me happy that I'm still able to do what I'm doing. And not only am I doing it with my grandchildren, but I'm doing it also with this generation that's coming. And I can see that Wes is here in my heart and in my mind, and he's here in this building, and I can just refer to things that happen and things that are said. And as Kim says, walking through this school, it's like he's here.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Here. And of course he's home. I'm always just surprised that people who see me on the street, who shake my hand or who hug me or want to take a picture with me, they remember Wes. And We went to the All-Star game year before last, and it was Kim's first time being involved in that because she's blind, and so she really didn't want to go. But I said, let's go because they're honoring your dad. He's going to be a 75th diamond. Yeah, he was a diamond. And so we went, and we were just bowled over with the reception we received from NBA players who really admired Wes.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Told us, you know, to our faces, he's the man, he was the rock, he was this, he was that. And that just kind of spurred us on that people are so good and they're so kind, and they're always making comments to me about what my husband did, things I didn't even know he did. I mean, like going to a hospital where a kid was dying and he came to give her a ball. And lady saying, you know, he came to my son's hospital bed and he gave him the ball. And I'm thinking, I don't even know you, lady. I mean, I'm not saying it in a negative way, but these are things that Kim and I never knew he did.
Right, right.
You know.
Well, as far as the game goes, I mean, he'll never be forgotten because people always compare their inside game to Wes Unseld. He was just he was just such a force inside. And he rebounded incredibly well, and he, you know, his percentages for inside scoring was off the charts. So, yeah, he'll never be forgotten in that regard at all. Everybody compares themselves to his game. Kim, you said that you use some daddy-isms. When you're using them, do you know that you're using them? I mean, or is it just something that flows out? You go, oh, my God, my dad used to say that to me.
They're conscious. They're definitely conscious. I admit, I was, of the two of us, I think I was the one that tested my parents the most.
Okay.
I do believe that many of the statements that were used were the typical words to the wise. And so I feel that it doesn't hurt to maybe put hate to use the word basketball spin on certain things in life with a euphemism here, there, or daddyism, as I say, that's functional. And there are plenty of them out there. And I find that for some of my students, it's just the little niche that they need to kind of make the mindset correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the next plans for the school? Where do you see the school going from here?
Well, I think right now, especially with, as you said, things in the media regarding what people find troublesome,
right,
and what people find needing, I guess you can say specific attention.
Mm-hmm.
We are laying a coursework of maintaining a classical perspective.
Okay.
I think in education, as in many fields, a new label sounds interesting or emboldening or interactive, and we find out it's the same thing, just a different name.
Okay.
I hate to use the term like some of our services. Every 5 years we get a new name, but we realize it's the same service. Hope that sometimes the foundations aren't addressed. And I think that our school addresses the foundations. And that makes us a little bit different. Some people say it makes us too traditional.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that once a young person has the foundations, the sky really is the limit. They could put it together at that point. In many cases, you're empowering them to do just that.
Where have you guys pulled your curriculum from? What is it developed based off of? Is it a traditional school curriculum, math, English, you know, social? I mean, are you guys doing anything different outside of the box than that?
Absolutely. We do a life skills class. We do a media class. We do an outdoor education class. We're very strong in music because we believe music is a part of the total curriculum.
Okay.
Keyboarding is introduced. Miss Kim does a lot of critical thinking. Oral history. Logic. Just adequate. We have an adequate class. She does equestrian, where she has the children riding horses.
What?
I mean,
really?
These are experiences that our children don't get outside of, you know, very prestigious schools that cost a lot of money.
Right.
She has had a horse all of her life, and she's involved with equestrian. She takes them to the National Horse Shows. They go out and ride. They learn to ride Western style and English style. The life skills class is very intensive with total class and etiquette, and we finish up by going to several restaurants to pass the final exam. And I did this because I was concerned about being in places where you're not dressed appropriate, or being in places where you don't know what to do and how to do it. And
right.
You don't have anybody to tell you when you're invited to something. You don't have time to go get the book and figure it out. So we do it as a class.
Brian,
yes,
we
ma'am.
Also just because we like to eat.
Well, then that's the place I need to be. I need to enroll if that's the case. So, things like this, people don't know. I would never in a million years have thought, and that's my fault, you know what I mean? But I would never in a million years have thought that equestrian would be a part of a curriculum in a Baltimore City school. I just wouldn't have.
I would think that it should be. We're the second jewel of the Triple Crown.
I agree, but I've never thought of it that way.
Among other reasons why we would need to bring the ideas of empowering people, there are a lot of lost history, specifically lost history in our African American community and in the racing and equestrian industry.
Right.
And so I would hope so that we would champion equestrian arts. I believe our first sport in Maryland was jousting.
Wow.
I believe it's been challenged and possibly changed, but well, the horse is important, and so I think that would be good to share.
And Wes was the reason that we did it, because Wes bought the horse.
Oh well, and, there you go.
Kim has always loved horses, and she's had horses, but it was Wes who said, "Okay, well, let's do this." And so we kind of bought her first Percheron, which lived to be 36 years old, and he passed away weeks ago. And it was very sad around here because we had a funeral for a horse.
Wow.
And the whole thing, you know, it was just the kids' impact and how they love the horse and how the horse has been a part of their life ever since they've been in the school. So it was really very special.
Mm-hmm. What is the capacity, what is the student population capacity? Like, how many kids can you guys have there and teach effectively?
130.
Okay.
Yes.
130 students. And what's the largest population you've had there? Has it ever been at capacity?
It's been above capacity.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've added rooms. We've had to rent other facilities and buy a church around the corner and move our auditorium around the corner. So yes, we've had three different extensions or add-ons to our facility since we've been here since 1978.
Well, you had two challenges in 2020, one of them being the death of Mr. Unsell, and the other, COVID. How did you manage to keep the school open during that time? Because that those are two big challenges.
I think part of it was need, where many people immediately did everything on Zoom. We actually had parents, grandparents, who did not understand or could not conform to the technological necessities.
Right.
So we actually came to school every day to accommodate those students who could not do Zoom. So they came to school.
But you were in the grieving process yourself. How does that work?
Yes, it is. And I'm concerned about that because my mother, is a certain age too. And that was a risk, a very intense risk. But
yes,
it was one of those things where risking the inability of a student, several students, not being able to continue was, in my mom's eyes, I mean, we had several heated discussions, more important.
Well, hats off to you, because a lot of companies, a lot of organizations and schools would have shut down at that point during that time, and did.
Yeah.
I know that kids suffered as far as their grades. They backslid a lot because they didn't, mm-hmm. they couldn't, well, they didn't have to be monitored. So, you know, they did what they kind of wanted to do. So I'm very happy to hear that you guys were able to stay open. That's amazing to me. Amazing to me. The Legacy Room, how long has that been there now?
A year. Mm-hmm. It's been here a little bit. It was a year in April. So it's been a year, almost a year and a half now. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have to be a student in order to come see it?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Although I'll be honest, we don't want the general Q public here while education is happening. I mean, we don't mind visitors, but, you know, it's still a school, so we want to be careful with everybody feeling the need that they could just come into the school. Does
Understood.
That make sense?
All right. And if I have a child that mm-hmm. I want to enroll in the school, what is the age group and what is the age limit? And, you know,
preschool to eighth grade.
What is it? I'm sorry?
Preschool through eighth grade.
Preschool to eighth grade. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how would I get in touch with you guys?
info@unselschool.com.
Well, I mean, I can't believe how quickly the time is flowing. I have 1,000 more questions, but I don't have time to ask them. No, because I told you, I've driven past this school a million times. I literally have. And I got to be honest with you, and I'm gonna tell you this, and this is kind of funny. I would sometimes see a Mercedes parked out in front, and I'm like, oh my God, Wes Unseld's inside. But I was too scared, you know, to come inside and see. But I would just assume, you know, because I saw a Mercedes out front, that he was inside. It had to be inside. But I was too scared to pull in and walk in and see for myself, you know. But I am so happy that you guys not only are here, but have been here for as long as you have and are part of the community, and the community is a part of you. And I can't imagine that you'll go anywhere, and I hope that you guys never do. And you are what we call a gem in the backyard of Baltimore. And you've done an amazing job with the kids here. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for letting us be with you today. It's awesome. We really appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. So I'm going to check out some games. I'm going to talk to Wes Jr. too. I'm going to try and have him on the show because I got 1,000 questions for him as well. And
ask him why he had to call me Miss Connie.
Okay, I'll certainly ask him that. I can't even imagine going to the school where my mother is my teacher. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. My attendance record would be pretty low, I think. But you guys have an amazing, amazing day, and thank you so much. And I'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. My pleasure. Bye-bye. Okay, I hear the music, so I know you hear the music, which could only mean one thing on this show, and that means it is time for the Petty. It's been a big week for the Petty. Let's call him and see what he's got in store for us today.
Good morning, Brother B. How are you?
What's up, Petty? How you doing today, bro?
I'm doing just great.
Good, good, good. Talk to me, man. What you got for me this week? There's a lot going on last week, man.
Yeah, a lot was going on last week. First, let me say 11-5 again. It's not such a bad week. Thursday night was a winner. But this Thursday night just passed, I am highly disappointed in those Washington Commanders football team Redskins. They let those Chicago Bears come. You know what? I'm shocked. And I'm telling you right now, Brother B, we might be seeing Jacoby Brissett. And I mentioned that last week.
Right.
You know, they're missing a Thursday night record, but that's irrelevant. That team, I don't know what's going on with them. I really don't. I wasn't impressed with they got blown out at home after putting up a big old fight in Philly. So maybe it's because it was a short week. I don't know what it was. But let me tell you something. I was very disappointed in them.
Yeah, but the defense kind of let them down. I mean, I know the offense stalled in the first half. But the second half, they came out blazing. So if the defense hadn't let them put up 30 points, 27 points in the first half, the Commanders could have won that game.
You can't play that type of football game against a team that's hungry for a win.
You're right.
The Bears have been itching for a win. And the Commanders, I don't know, maybe they was coming off the feel good about the loss. And you should never feel good about the loss.
Right.
They feel like they put up a big old fight in Philly. And they win the overtime and they lost it on the field goal. And they feel like they could come home. And because it was the Bears, they'd be just showing up, they could beat the Bears. No, you have to play the game.
Right.
Cut and dry. And they messed up my Thursday night record. I'm highly disappointed in those Washington Commanders. But let's move right along. First of all, a recap of what happened last week. Alvarez did what he do. he beat, you know, Tomorrow Charlo. No big surprise there. And now, here's the thing. Charlo says he wants to fight Crawford.
He's crazy.
I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
Crazy would beat the, Crawford would beat the brakes off of Charlo.
You know, the thing is, Charlo would just look very lethargic in his fight. I don't know what the problem was. He wasn't jabbing. He wasn't using his height and reach advantage. I don't know. Maybe it's for the payday.
That's all it is at this point.
I really don't.
He's calling out everybody that can give him payday. That's it.
You know, and that's sad because the dude has talent. Go in there and win some fights.
Right.
You know, don't just go in there for a payday. But if that's what you want to do, hey, brother, do you.
Nah, I feel you.
Let's briefly talk a little bit about baseball and the wild card circuit, which was played earlier this week. We got the Rangers, the Twins, the Diamondbacks, and, of course, the Phillies all taking care of business in the wild card round. And now they go to stiffer competition. Now, let's talk about your high-flying O's who have been waiting on those Rangers. Now, you know, when you break those two teams down, hey, the Orioles ain't got nothing to lose. They're supposed to be on a rebuild.
Right.
And their rebuild has been fantastic.
Playing with house money, so to speak.
They're playing with house money. So if they win the divisional round, be happy for them. If they lose, be happy for the season that they had. In 100-plus wins, they were the second-best team in baseball.
Right.
You got some young talent that people never heard of before. They weren't even being talked about all the way up until now.
I was going to say, they still didn't want to talk about it.
You know, if they lose to the Rangers, that's cool. But right now, my money's on the Orioles. I'm expecting to see them in the World Series, possibly against the Braves. But the Braves have a tough task. They're going to play Philly. This is a revenge series from last year's playoffs.
Right, right.
So
you're
we're going to see what happens. You know, we're going to follow up.
It's going to be a great series, actually.
As time goes on. It should be a great series for the Orioles and the Phillies. I'm not discounting what the Twins have done. It's been a long time since the Twins have made it to the next round. And the D-backs, they are back. You know, so let's look at these teams that have won their wild card series very convincingly, and now they're moving on to the next round.
Okay.
More on that next week. In the NFL, there have been a couple of trades that have been kind of surprising because it's only the fifth week of the season. Randy Gregory, who played for Dallas, decided to sign with the Broncos. He's going to the 49ers.
Okay, I know you're happy about that.
Well, you know what? Let's see how that plays out. Let's see if he has a spot to contribute to that team. Because the 49ers are one of the undefeated teams that are still left right now. And they're playing some good ball. Also, Chase Claypool, who used to play for the Steelers, who went to the Bears. And the Bears kind of basically just kicked them out of the building. He's going to Miami.
Okay.
I think he will contribute to that team. Miami staff with receivers. And then they have another one with Chase Claypool.
Okay.
So let's see how that plays
out. What kind of speed does Claypool have, though?
Excuse me?
What kind of speed does Claypool have? Because, you know, they're a speed team.
He's a good – he does have speed, but he's also a good possession receiver.
Okay.
That might be his role.
All right.
But let's talk about what I love best, and that's the NFL.
Okay.
And we got a slate of games going. As a matter of fact, as we speak, right across the pond, Buffalo Wild Wing Bills – playing those spotted cats from Jacksonville. Jacksonville is almost like the home team when they play over in London because they play there every year.
Right, right.
They handled their business last week. And it's kind of amazing that they didn't have to come back to the States. They just stayed over in London because guess what? They're playing again this week across the pond.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They welcome in those Buffalo Bills who just took it to Miami. They took them to the woodshed, gave them a little spank and let them know that, hey, you may have put up a 70 burger, but we're still at the top of the East, the AFC East.
Right, right.
So as we speak right now, Buffalo, Jacksonville, in London, and my money is on those Buffalo Wild Wing Bills.
I like
them beating the Jaguars. I know that's a home game for Jacksonville. I just like the Bills. I think the Bills are saying, hey, we are still at the top of the AFC. You got to come through us. Yeah, I know everybody's talking about Kansas City being the defending world champs, or should I say Super Bowl champs, but Buffalo's feeling like he still got to come through us.
Right.
Buffalo over Jacksonville.
Okay.
Next up, we got the Falcons hosting those Houston Texans. I like what I've seen against with Houston recently. They're going into the ATL against those Dirty Birds. What can you say about Justin Riddler, their quarterback Riddler? Or Ritter, I'm sorry, Ritter. Yeah. I call him the Riddler because he's a big question mark as that quarterback. So I like what DeMarco Ryans has done with Houston. And I'm looking for the Texans to go into the ATL and beat the Dirty Birds. I'm looking for them to, I'm looking for the Texans to beat the Falcons.
Okay.
Now we got the team that I like. They're not my favorite team. They're not who I who's my heart, but I like them. And you know what I'm ready to talk about.
Who?
Those pesky Lions.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
They are
yeah,
home
yeah.
against those Black Panthers, the Carolina Panthers. Carolina comes in. They look somewhat shaky. They've been in some games, but we're talking about the pesky Lions at home. Easy money there. Take the Lions over the Panthers. Next, we got the Colts against the Tennessee Titans. That's a tight game. The odds makers are saying it's a toss-up. I really like the Colts at home. I kind of want to go with Tennessee because of what they did last week. But you know what? I like what I see with their young quarterback.
Okay.
They have their franchise quarterback. Give me the Colts over the Titans.
Ooh, okay.
The Dolphins, fresh off of that loss and that humbling loss to Buffalo, will welcome in the New York football Giants, who are a disaster right now. I don't know what's... You know what? I think they gave the wrong... They gave the money to the wrong player. They should have paid Saquon.
I
and
agree.
Just gave Daniel Jones a contract.
I agree 100%.
Daniel Jones looked horrible. Dable was in his face. They are an embarrassment right now.
I agree.
So with them, with that being said, they're going down to South Beach. Easy money for the Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins over the Giants.
Okay, okay.
Next up, we got the Saints going up to Gillette to see the Patriots. That's another tight one that the odds make are saying. But I like the Patriots at home. And on a side note with that, if the Patriots don't win this game, we may be looking at the end of an era. There's talk that Bill Belichick might be out at the end of the season.
You think
this
so?
Is a big game for the Patriots. Because this is like almost a must win, not so much in the standings, but for Bill Belichick. They're trying to think of, it's kind of like saying that the game may have passed him by and he don't have it no more. But you know what? I like the Patriots over the Saints.
Oh, really? You like the Patriots over the Saints? Are you sure?
I like the Patriots because they're at home. And this is a game that they're playing for their coach. I think Bill Belichick will be out at the end of the year if he does not win this game. Give me the Patriots over the Saints. Finally, and I saved the best for last as far as the 1 o'clock games. We have your Baltimore Ravens traveling up to the Steel City. And you already know, Brother B, that this is a rivalry. It's always been a rivalry. It's always a tight game. You got, oh, man. Boy, oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy.
Who you got?
I'm just going to make this short and sweet. Give me the Steelers and the close one over those bum birds from Baltimore.
You're crazy. You're crazy.
I want to take the Ravens so bad.
You're crazy.
But you know what? This has always been a knockdown, drag-out fight between these two teams. They usually split during the season. You know what I'm saying? It's right. They usually split.
Yeah, but the Steelers don't have it this year.
You know what? I'm looking for Tomlin because of the rivalry between these two teams to say, hey, if we don't beat anybody else, let's beat Baltimore at home. So with that being said, I like the Steelers over those Bumbird Ravens. So let's move on to the 4 o'clock slate. We got the Bengals going out to the so-called tanking Cardinals.
Okay, okay.
I think this is a turnaround game for the Bengals. I think this is a game that may save their season. So I like the Bengals over the Cardinals.
Okay.
Now here's the one that's man. I was going back and forth on this one, and this is a tough pick for me. It really is because of who's playing. The LA Rams. Host those Philadelphia Eagles. Those pigeons fly in to L.A. to see the Rams. And I think this is going to be a tough game. I have not been impressed with the Eagles yet. Yes, they are an undefeated team. I just don't. There's something about them that they don't seem like they were last year. You know, they're winning, but seem like they're barely winning. The Commanders took them into overtime last week. Where they should have spanked the Commanders.
No, they shouldn't have spanked the Commanders.
Cooper Kupp is back. And I'm looking for the Rams to give the Eagles their first loss of the season.
Okay.
Give me the Rams over the Philadelphia Pigeons. the Eagles. Next up, this is a battle of two teams that I don't even know what the hell's going on with them. Jets, Broncos, Mile High City. Now, when I decided who I like in this game, it's because of who the quarterbacks are. Who has the better quarterback? J-E-T-S, Jets?
Hell no.
Or the Broncos?
The Broncos.
The Broncos do. So, easy pick for me right here. Give me the Broncos over the Jets.
Okay.
Finally, on the 4 o'clock slate, the afternoon games, Chiefs, Vikings, and Minnesota. That's going to be a high-scoring game. I just have a feeling of it. Both of those offenses can put points on the board. They have some good receivers, good running backs. Defenses, so-so.
Okay.
But the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I don't care where they're playing. I like the Chiefs over the Vikings.
Huh. Okay. All right. I got you on that.
And here we go, Brother B. Tonight. The big game. Probably the biggest game of the... This is it right here. I'm telling you, this is it.
What?
Let me tell you how big this game is. Hold on for a second, Brother B. Let me tell you how big this game is right here tonight.
Okay. All right.
This game in this week, this early in the season, may have playoff implications of where these two teams will be playing. One of these teams will be playing at home. One will be playing on the road when the playoffs come around.
Who?
We're talking about them boys from the Big D going out to the Golden Gate City to see the 49ers.
Oh, my God.
Now, the reason I say why this is a big game, because this is a revenge game for Dallas. For the last 2 years, the 49ers have put them out of the playoffs.
Right.
But when you think about it, Brother B, when we talk about the NFC, there are three powerhouses in the NFC. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, and the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. Whoever wins this game tonight will have a home game during the playoffs. And I'm telling you right now, Brother B, they'll be on the collision course to see each other in the playoffs again for the third straight year. And this game will determine will the game be played in Santa Clara or will it be played in the Big D. This is a big game tonight. This is a revenge match for Dak and the boys.
Okay. And you've got...
And let me tell you something, Brother B. You know how much I hate Dallas. I despise Dallas. I hate Dallas more than I hate those Bumbird Ravens. But I think that Dallas will go into Santa Clara tonight and put a whipping on the 49ers.
No.
But you know what, Brother B?
What?
Yeah, I said it. I think those guys are going out for revenge tonight. But give me the guys from the Golden Gate City. Give me those 49ers over the Cowboys.
I knew it. I knew it.
And finally, tomorrow night, it'll be those cheeseheads going out to Vegas, going out to Sin City to see the Raiders. I don't know what the hell's going on with the Raiders. I really don't. But you know what? I thought Green Bay would put up some numbers last week. They didn't. So with the Raiders being at home, give me the Raiders over the Cheeseheads.
Okay.
And not being remiss, maybe missing my duties. Next Thursday night, Chiefs, Broncos.
Oh my God, that's an easy one, right?
Division game. It's a division game. No division games are easy. Case in point, you see what happened with Washington and Philadelphia last week.
Right.
But I like the Chiefs over the Broncos.
Okay.
And finally, once again, I have to end this on a sad note. This guy here, considered one of the greatest linebackers of all time.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, when we were kids and we would play football and we would tackle somebody, we would say his name.
Yes, we would.
I'm talking about Dick Butkus.
Yeah, man.
Passed away at the age of 80. He was probably one of the original guys from the Monsters of the Midway. Unfortunately, they never won a championship in Chicago while he was playing, but he was definitely a Hall of Famer. Man, he will be sadly missed. And I really think he probably passed away of a broken heart. His wife, who he had been with since 1963, his college and high school sweetheart, she passed away earlier this year. He passed away a couple of days ago. They had been married for 60 years.
I didn't know that, man.
They were married in 1963.
I did not know that, bro.
They celebrated their 60th anniversary this year. He passes away at the age of 80. He's gone to be with his wife.
Wow.
Rest in peace, Dick Butkus.
Absolutely.
On that note, Brother B, I am out of here. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Peace.
Peace, brother. Appreciate you. All right, well, you heard it from the Petty. Listen, we don't have much time. I've run over again. I am so sorry, but the hour goes by so fast, and I'm so, so thankful that you were with me for the hour and a little bit of change. And the owner doesn't care. He's like, Brian, get your message out. Let our people know what's going on. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Thank you so much for the Unsells for being here with me today. Listen, if you have a kid anywhere in the ages of, 4 to 13, get him over to the Unselled School. You will not be sorry. I mean, if you think about all the things that are going on with the Baltimore City public school education system, you might want to rethink what you're investing in. Invest in your children if you can. They have a small student population. Small classrooms mean one thing, a great education, when that education is coming from intelligent, caring, nurturing people. And that is exactly what the Unselleds are. Their staff is exactly that way. So when you have an opportunity, go visit them. Check them out. See what I'm talking about. You won't be sorry. Also, I want to thank the Petty, of course. He's always here. He's always got my back. And typically, he's pretty accurate in his picks. We'll see you again this week, all right? Listen, take a load off. Relax. Today is Sunday. Enjoy the games or whatever you do on Sundays, but do nothing. Rest your mind, all right? Because like I say always, the best thing about doing nothing is you can quit whenever you want. That means tomorrow you wake up ready to conquer the world, be the best that you can be, allowing yourself to be inspired and also allowing yourself to be inspiring. Please, be your best tomorrow. Have a great week. I'll see you here next Sunday at 10 a.m., same time, same channel. Right here on 1500 Radio, Baltimore's authentic multimedia experience. Have a great week, people. Peace.